Hi, I'm Tiffany Jenkins, author of Strangers and Intimates, The Rise and Fall of Private Life. Picture this. You've just finished a long week. You kick off your shoes, shut the door, or if you're working from home, close that laptop, and finally, exhale. It's that magical moment when you switch off from the outside world and sink back into your private space, whether it's bustling with kids or blissfully quiet. This is where you restore yourself, where you can truly be yourself. Or at least it should be. But here's the thing, that sanctuary is harder to find than ever before. And I'm not just talking about social media notifications or endless Zoom calls. This goes much deeper. The relationship between your public and private life might be the most important relationship you never think about. Yet it's under siege, not just from big tech, but from forces that run much deeper through our culture. To understand what we're losing and why it matters so much, in Strangers and Intimates, I trace the extraordinary story of how private life emerged in the first place and what places it at risk. Because here's the uncomfortable truth. This sanctuary we take for granted is a hard-won achievement that could disappear just as quickly as it emerged. I want to share with you 5 insights I had about the importance of private life whilst writing this book. 1. The public-private relationship is the most important relationship you've never heard of. We're used to thinking about major binaries that shape our world. Night and day, individual and collective, work and rest, local and global. But there's one that's been hiding in plain sight, public and private. This isn't just another academic distinction. It's a neglected lens through which we can understand not just our daily lives, but the whole sweep of human history. Every major social transformation, every political revolution, every cultural shift has involved redrawing the line between what belongs in public and what stays private. Your relationship with this boundary affects everything from how you behave on social media to what you're willing to share with your government, from how you raise your children to how you express your sexuality, even what sexuality you can be. Yet most of us have never consciously thought about where these lines are drawn or who's drawing them. But if you're not conscious of how this boundary works, someone else is drawing those lines for you. 2. Private life isn't natural. Here's something that might surprise you. The privacy you cherish isn't some timeless human right. It's a recent cultural invention. Throughout history, what people chose to keep private and what they made public has shifted dramatically. Take ancient Rome. While we mostly keep toilet habits and reproduction private today, Romans had elaborately decorated public latrines where people sat side by side and chatted while doing their business. Meanwhile, sexual attitudes were surprisingly open. Prostitution was legal and widespread, and pornographic paintings hung in respectable, upper-class homes. Whereas in England, in the 1700s, all sex outside heterosexual marriage was illegal, and spying on your neighbour's immoral behaviour through a peephole was actually encouraged before wrongdoers were publicly shamed in the marketplace. What we'd call a massive privacy violation today was once considered a civic duty. It wasn't until 1890 that privacy was born in its modern sense. That's when the buttoned-up Boston lawyers Samuel Warren and Louis Brandeis published their famous article, The Right to Privacy, which first recognised the idea of a private sphere as essential to the self. Their groundbreaking argument laid the legal and philosophical basis for modern privacy rights. Private life has been seen as everything from forbidden and dangerous and frightening to a sacred refuge. The fact that it's a cultural construction rather than a natural law means two things. We can't take it for granted, but we also have the power to shape what privacy looks like in the future. 3. We're treating strangers like intimates and intimates like strangers. Here's a disturbing paradox of modern life. We bare our souls to strangers on social media while struggling to be fully intimate with those closest to us. Today's culture demands we bring our authentic selves to work and share our politics, our pain, our personal struggles, and intimate moments like the birth of our children and marriage proposals with everyone. We're always on and exposed in public, which means we've lost the seclusion essential to building ourselves and our relationships. When everything is public, nothing feels sacred. We lose the exclusive knowledge shared only with the chosen few, the secrets that create bonds, the sanctuary of unconditional love that exists only between intimates. Consider how this plays out. We'll share our deepest struggles with therapy speak on Instagram stories, but can't have an honest conversation with our partner about money. We'll live stream our workout routines and our makeup routines, our meal prep, but feel awkward about being seen without makeup by our closest friends. We know the political opinions of distant acquaintances, but don't know what truly keeps our siblings awake at night. Our leaders and tech giants have bought into and promote this confusion. As Google's former CEO Eric Schmidt put it in 2009, if you have something that you don't want anyone to know, maybe you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. But think about that logic for a moment. It essentially argues that privacy itself is suspicious. Insight 4. Why everyone desperately needs a private life. Private life isn't just nice to have. It's essential. First, we all need it to develop our inner life, think original thoughts, and relieve the pressures of public performance. When you're constantly on, there's no space for the kind of deep reflection that produces genuine insights or personal growth. Second, we need it to be truly intimate with loved ones. Real intimacy requires a protected space where vulnerability is safe, where you can be completely yourself without an outside audience, where the bonds you form are exclusive. Third, and this may surprise you, you need a private life to be a better person in public. Think about how you feel after a holiday or a weekend away, going back into the world on Monday morning. You are fresher, restored, more eager to engage with others. That's the restorative power of stepping away from public demands and reconnecting with ourselves. Finally, what you can do to reclaim your private life. Here's some comfort. History shows us that privacy panics are often overstated. We've survived moral crusades and surveillance scares before. But that doesn't mean we should sit back and do nothing. Start by accepting that you are a different person in private than in public, and that it's not only normal, it's essential to be that way. Privacy isn't just about hiding bad things, although we wouldn't be very interesting if we truly had nothing to hide. More importantly, the most meaningful parts of life often happen away from public view, behind closed doors. Draw clear boundaries between work and home, between colleagues and friends, between strangers and intimates. Just because strangers can't see what you're up to doesn't mean it's unimportant. It means the opposite. The hidden moments are often where the most significant growth, connection, and restoration happen. I hope that you will find that the future of private life isn't predetermined. We still have the power to shape it, but only if we start thinking consciously about these boundaries, instead of letting others draw them for us.